Okay, so hopefully I'm not going to have a coughing fit at the end of my message like I did last week. Still a little phlegmy here, congested, but we're going to try to get through it. Okay, so last week I asked everyone to consider that Yeshua's conception occurred on Hanukkah, and I referred back to the true time of Yeshua's birth at Sukkot. Even though this time of the year, there is this emphasis on Yeshua's birth, although we do know that it is at Sukkot, and so we're really talking about a time situation here. We do need to remember that it is Yeshua's death and resurrection that and his death and return are the important things to us as believers. It's nice to know when he was born. It's nice to know when he truly was born, according to God's calendar, not according to a pagan calendar. However, the important thing for us as believers is the emphasis on his death and resurrection. And so this morning I want to look at this phrase that we have, the joy of our salvation. The joy of our salvation. Rejoicing in our salvation, we talk about this. Sometimes we lose the joy of our salvation. Sometimes some people never really express the joy of their salvation. Sometimes there are people that accept the Lord and they are believers in Yeshua and they have eternal life, but there's no joy in their lives. They don't express any joy in their lives. So this morning I want to talk about these things. When we read the words that say we become righteous, and there are quite a few scriptures about it, about how we as believers become righteous. It isn't that we become righteous people. Shaul says we shouldn't be boasting. We shouldn't boast. We shouldn't think of ourselves to be more righteous than other people. But the thing is, the scriptures say that we are righteous in the Lord. But it's not a righteousness that should be a haughty righteousness or an arrogant righteousness or that we compare ourselves to other people. It's not that kind of righteous. Righteous means to be right. Now, the thing is, we could say, well, we're right and other people are wrong, or we're righter than you're right. But the thing is, righteous means to be right. But if we believe that God is right, we believe that God is always right, that there's always truth in God, if we believe that living for him is the right thing to do, and that is correct, if we believe that Yeshua was and is without sin, and if we believe that we live for Yeshua, well, then our living produces righteousness because of all of these things and the people that we live for, the God and Messiah that we live for, they are right. And so because they are right, and they are without sin, and they are truth, because we believe and live for them, this, I believe, is what makes us righteous. That's what makes us right, because we're living for the one who is right. So it's not that good works make us righteous. Good works never make us righteous. God wants us to do good works. I believe that God smiles when we do good works, but I understand, and we should understand, that we don't do good works to draw closer to God. We don't do good works for salvation, but he wants us to do good works. He wants us to be good people. He wants us to do things like praying and reading the Word of God and to treat people the way we would want to be treated. He wants us to do these things, but those good works don't make us righteous. The only thing that makes us righteous is because he is righteous. And we need to understand that. So I'm going to go to my first scripture this morning as I open up, and it's from 1 John 1, 9. I think. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He cleanses us from the unrighteousness. But it's if we confess our sins and we are faithful and we ask to have our sins forgiven, then because of him being righteous and him being truthful and right, that's why we are righteous. And so he cleanses us from the unrighteousness, not by what we do, but by who he is. And so I think that it's a good reason for us to have joy in our lives. Because if we strive to be righteous, we're never going to be righteous. We're not really going to be right. We may think we're righteous, but we're not righteous. Number one, because that's not what righteousness is all about. And the reality is, if we think we're righteous, you know what? The other person thinks they're more righteous than you are. So you're never righteous enough to other people. See? So the thing is, though, we need to have that joy in our lives because he is righteous. That alone should give us joy. And to know that this wonderful gift of salvation is not because of what we do. It's what he did. And so the return of Yeshua will bring us all into a wonderful new stage. You know, we talk about Yeshua and he was born, was conceived and he was born and he lived and then he grew up and he matured and then he had his ministry. We talk about all of these things. However, when he returns, it's going to put us into a new, wonderful stage. It's going to put us into a stage that we can't even perceive. But we know that it's going to happen. And it's nice to have comfort in our daily lives that we are, first of all, God's children. That Yeshua and God's Ruach, his Spirit, are with us on a daily basis. However, the promise of return of Yeshua, because it is going to put us into an even different and greater, and I believe a more wonderful stage that we are experiencing now, is going to be even greater joy that we could ever imagine in our lives. So this morning, I want to encourage people to have joy in their lives, to live with joy in their lives as believers in an expectation to know what's going to happen at that next stage, that it's going to be even more wonderful and even more joyous for us. So by looking ahead, knowing how great it's going to be, it should give us joy today in expectation for those things. And we can rejoice because it is certain. It's a certainty that Yeshua is going to return. Ready or not, he's going to return. People, you know, people will talk about, well, I don't believe in this and I don't believe in that. And so many times I use the example of, you know, so sometimes I use the example sometimes for people to understand. So we'll use sort of universal laws. Let's not get into the spiritual laws with them because they don't really understand them. They're not looking with eyes that can see or with a heart that can really feel, or they just want to ignore it. So I use them an example of a universal law. I say, listen, you can believe in gravity or you could deny gravity all you want. Gravity is there. If you say, I don't believe in gravity, you don't believe in it, but I challenge you to go up into a 10-story building and walk off. You're not going to just float out there because you don't believe in gravity. You're going to hit the ground. Because gravity is gravity. It's a universal law. So spiritual laws are spiritual laws. And God is God. Whatever you believe in, God or not, or whoever you believe, or however you believe, it doesn't matter. And so the truth is, he is God. But the truth is that Yeshua is returning. So I say ready or not. So I've got a couple of scriptures this morning. We'll use just three of them this morning, but we get a sort of a range of things here. Let's look at John, Luke, and Hebrews. So in John, in my Father's house, this is what Yeshua said, my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, I tell you the truth. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And in Luke, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Again, Yeshua's words. And then the writer of Hebrews, he said, Messiah was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. And so we know that it is a truth that Yeshua is going to return. So these things that we talk about this morning, they are true. They are true. They are a spiritual law. They are true. And whether people believe it or not, in his return, it doesn't matter. He is going to return. So that's why I say to people, ready or not, here I come. Yes. And so we look around us and we see signs in our world today. I mean, look, we could talk about this every week, about what's going on in the world. But even just recently, we see these uprises in anti-Semitism that, for, you know, somehow we sort of put it down. We sort of buried it a little bit because we didn't really want to feel that anti-Semitism was going to rise up again. But now we're seeing it happen. We see it happening literally all around the world right now. And so we see anti-Semitism today. And we see people that are now coming out and they're having these anti-God stances, and they don't want people that express their beliefs in God. They don't want them to do these things. They want to squelch people to tell others about it. And so we're living in a world today that is really becoming more and more anti-God. And you know, when people are anti-Jewish, we know this. When people are anti-Israel, whether they know it or not, they're being anti-God. Because God loves Israel. And he created and loved the Jewish people. So it's one of these sort of spiritual laws. You can't love God and you can't believe in God if you don't believe in the God of Israel. And so people that say they love God and they love Messiah, if they do not love God's people and God's land, they do not love God, and they love a Messiah that they have created in their mind and in their hearts. And so we see these signs today, and unfortunately, more and more going on. And so if we Let's open to 1 Peter for just a minute or two, because they were living in a situation that is very similar to what believers, I believe, are going to be living in more and more these days, unfortunately. We see that his words were to the scattered Messianic Jews. We see that his words were to those that were scattered, but they were being persecuted. And we see that they were Messianic Jews. They were believers, and they were Jewish people that he addresses here. Let's go to 1 Peter, and I'm going to just give a couple of different verses here so we get this idea. Peter, an apostle of Messiah Yeshua, to the pilgrims of the dispersion, the diaspora, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Now, right, first of all, someone would say, how could he, are we supposed to have fear in our lives? He was stating a reality that these people, they were dispersed. They were driven out of the land. And he said, throughout the time of your stay here, understand that these are fearful times for you. So maybe we can relate a little bit this morning. His letter is a letter of encouragement, actually, if you would read the entire thing. But he's addressing them right up front. So we know who he's addressing, but it really was a letter of encouragement. It was a letter of hope, and it was a letter of joy to them. Let's go to the next few verses here. This is chapter 1. It's verse 4, 5, and 6, and then 7. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. This is what we have in God. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Come quickly, Lord. In this you greatly rejoice, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Messiah Yeshua. And so he wants them, he said, I want you to rejoice greatly in these times. He knew that they were being persecuted. He knew that it wasn't easy for them, but he was bringing a word of hope from the Lord and asking them to be joyful in your life. You can imagine this in his writings. Going through suffering. So it's hard for me. Listen, I don't know if people would want to hear me stand here and say, I know what you're going through, but let's just suck it up and let's just be joyful in our lives. It's hard for me to say something like that. And if I say something like that, I don't know if you would just roll your eyes and you would really believe and like, oh, come on. Come on now. Look at what we're going through. But the reality is, this was, we have to believe that it was the Ruach, it was God's Spirit that was working on Peter, Kepha, that he would write these things to the scattered believers that were going through these times. And so I want us to be able to relate to this, because this, we can say this is from Peter, but it's not. It's from God. It's from his Ruach telling Peter to write these things. And so these are the things that I encourage you this morning. But imagine, he's encouraging them to be joyful. Joyful. The world today says, this is a season of great joy for us. Even people that don't even make a connection of any religious connection, they say, this time of the year, we should have joy. And people send cards and they say, may you have joy at this season of the year. It is joy. But here, this is a word of joy for each and every one of us this morning. I've heard people say that there is joy in suffering. But I have a hard time saying that. Because what does that really mean? There's joy in suffering. So when people are suffering, when someone have illnesses, when they're, are we to say to them, yeah, but look at it. The more you're suffering, the greater joy that you're going to have in your life. Come on. Let's be real about it. But there is, because I don't exactly say that, but some people say that sometimes. Sometimes I wish they wouldn't say that so much. But what's behind it? The thing is, I might put it this way. When we call something a problem, God calls it an opportunity. That should bring us joy if we respond properly. And we do know that, and I think people can all agree with that. When you have a problem in your life, don't we? We say things, when God closes a door, he opens another door. When a door closes for you, there's going to be another door opening up. When there are problems in our lives, God uses these. If we really connect with God, if we really are living for God, if we really love the Lord, I do believe that when there are times of suffering in our lives, when we have problems in our lives, God will use them for an opportunity if you keep your eyes and ears and heart open. There will be an opportunity. Now, I believe one of the greatest opportunities for people out there is the opportunity to draw closer to him. And when people that don't really know him and haven't accepted Yeshua, sometimes he puts all kinds of problems, suras in their lives, because he wants them to be drawn to him. And his hope is that by putting things in their life, brings sometimes to bring them to such a low level that the only way they have is to look up. And so they look to God. Sometimes he does that. Sometimes, here we go. Sometimes that's the opportunity that he gives us. And so, if what we call a problem, God might call an opportunity, that just might be the reason to bring a little bit more joy into your life to understand that. So one of my last things here, let's go to Nehemiah here, 8:10. And he said to them, go your way and eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions to those of whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So he wants us to go and he wants us to express the joy in our lives. I mean, he put it like, go your way and eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. In other words, do things that are joyful in your life. And why? Why do we do those things? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. It is the joy of the Lord that is your strength. That's why I said before, when we tap into God and Messiah, it's because of his righteousness we are righteous. Well, because of his joy that he has, we can express joy in the same way. It's his joy. And that is part of our inheritance from the Lord. Let's go to a couple of scriptures here. Oh Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. This is Psalm 16. 1 Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Messiah Yeshua, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. This is an inheritance and it is uncorruptible. This is the inheritance that we get from God. This is part of our inheritance from the Lord. And so I guess we could say, because God is joyful, It's the joy of the Lord that we inherit, if we would allow ourselves to do that, we inherit that portion of joy in our lives. We can tap into that joy, his joy, or we can just take on the miseries of the world. It's our choice. And sometimes you'll take on the miseries of the body of Messiah. It's your choice. You'll find somebody miserable in the congregation and you'll connect and be miserable with them. Let's all be miserable together. We'll start a miserable club. Okay? People do that sometimes. But the thing is, you have a choice. You can tap into his joy, or you can just be miserable in either your surroundings or the world or whatever you choose to do. And this, for those of you that don't want to have a real spiritual message, and sometimes people say to me, I don't know, you give so many scriptures, and sometimes it's hard for me to understand it, so I'm going to sort of dumb it down a little bit this morning for all of us, okay? And this is my last, and so this is it. Today I will be happier than a bird with a French fry. We all can look at that, right? Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
We make a decision, and just as that little bird grabs that little French fries and drags it away and is happier, we have to make a decision. And it doesn't have to be a fake and a phony joy with a smile on your face, but we need to realize that it is the joy of the Lord that is our strength, as Nehemiah said. It is the joy of the Lord. And at this time, let's let the joy of the Lord be our strength, not just at this season, but each and every day. Because he is wonderful and marvelous, and joy abounding is with him. And it is our inheritance. And so let's be joyful at this time. Let's be joyful with each other. Let's love each other and do for each other as we would be done for ourselves at this season. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Amen, amen. Praise you, Lord.